With all those great hymns regarding the revelation and the observations that Mike shared from Revelation chapters 4 and 5, I just kind of want to change subject matter. But we do have to go back to school, and so we're going to go ahead and focus on going back to school. So open your Bible, please, to Luke chapter 2. 2 will be our study, and I'm presuming we're having a PowerPoint for the lesson. Is that correct, Brandon? We have a PowerPoint for the lesson. Oh, there we go. Thank you very much. I want to make sure I was pushing the right button. Thank you. You know, rarely do songs celebrate going back to school. You know any good songs on, we're going back to school, we're going back to school? I didn't think so. But some of us can remember way back in the 1970s, this guy, Alice Cooper, is singing, school, well, I won't sing it, school's out for the summer. That's what we celebrate, is school's out for the summer. And now we're back to, oh, it's coming. You know, we think about the kids and how they're dreading going back to school, but hey, kids, this is a memo here. Your teachers are probably dreading it as much as you are. And so when their mom has to get your teacher out of bed in the morning because you have to go to school even though the kids don't like you, it's tough on the teachers too. And hey, Coop, you're going to have to help me here this year in eighth grade. I'm going to need lots of help as a teacher at the Bible school and our Bible classes. So I'm kind of, maybe Cindy's going to have to yank the sheets out and say, you got to go, Alan. And so as we think about, I want you to look in Luke chapter 2 at an exceptional student. I don't know what he scored on the ACT, but he really does well on character grades. Did you ever have character grades when you were in school? Conduct grades, I think is what it was called. And so as we notice in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, the boy grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was on him. Now, wouldn't you like that for your statement, for your kid? The kid grew up. He became strong. And he was wise. And God's grace was on him. You think that's going to be a successful student? He's going to be ready to go. He's going to be doing well in school as we think about that. In case you didn't know, some of us are in school all year long. We have projects every week. We have book reports to give. We have lots of assignments just every week out of the year. And for some of us, we never get out of school. I'm 65 and I'm still in school. And I'm in your school every week. And yet it's a pleasure to get to be challenged to think about our Lord. And so Jesus grew, and it's a joy to watch how he grew and the ways that he grew. And we may not be seeing a whole lot of that. We may just need to follow the text. It seems to be there's a little bit of difficulty in regard to the progression of the slides. So let's look at the four different ways Jesus grew. Did you ever leave your kid at church? Yeah, moms are laughing, chuckling, kind of. And the kids are marred forever, you know, after that. You know, your child's asleep after church, and oh yeah, I forgot that one. It happens. And Jesus is 12, you'll notice there in about verse 41. And he is on his way back home. At least his parents think he's on his way. He's in a caravan, and they're expecting that he's going to get to be traveling with his parents back home from the Passover festival. While he was at the festival, he was in school too. He's 12. And he's sitting there with all of the most learned men among the Sanhedrin, the priest and the scribes who are the legal professionals. And he's just hanging out with them. But his mom and dad think that he has gotten back in the caravan. And we'll just go a day's journey. And then they realize, hey, he's not among any of our relatives. He's not among any of our family. And they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple complex, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. How do you picture mom about now? I'm thinking it's a, I'm going to kill you, kid. You don't know what grief you've been causing me. We have looked for you for three, your father and I, we have looked for you for 3 days, and look where we find you. Really not a bad place to find a kid, is it? To find him at church? And so they found him, and he is having discussions, asking questions, giving answers, and these guys who are listening to him are really blown away with his wisdom and his knowledge. And he says to Mom and Dad, don't you know, don't you understand? When you get to be 12 guys, there's some things your mom and dad aren't going to understand. Okay? I know some of you aren't there yet, but it's going to happen. Don't you understand that I've got to be about my father's business? That there are some priorities in my life that are of foremost importance. And so sometimes mom and dad don't understand. But I want you to know how well he does in school. He scores really well on the test. He was humble. He was respectful. When mom and dad come with all that dread and discouragement on their face, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. We'll go home now. And do you notice as you continue reading that he is obedient? Oh, did I catch that? That he's obedient. In verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. But the mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature with God and with people. Wow. You know, one of the things when I moved to the South, I can still picture Lindsay kindergarten, if I'm remembering correctly, in Hartsville, Alabama. One of the things that attracted me to the South that we didn't do back in West Virginia much was, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I like that. I think I hear Jesus saying those kind of things. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Respectful, humble, willing to receive instruction. That's what we're hoping for you as you enter school. Are we up and running again now, you think, Grayson? Maybe, maybe not. I know that we've had some projector issues. Oh, yes, we are. Thank you so much. And so we're going back to school. And usually in the last 20 years, when my back to school thinking is back to college. So I'm trying to go back to kindergarten. Because I'm used to thinking about the introduction of college students into a large campus of 40,000 students or more. But I also want to go back and think about your kindergartner. And I think it was Robert Fulghum who, didn't he say something that anything I ever needed to learn, I learned in kindergarten? I'd like to challenge moms and dads to help your children to learn everything they need to know before they get to kindergarten. Wouldn't that be a grand thing? That we learn some basic courtesy principles as we begin our walk in the Lord. And so we learn that Jesus... I may be messing it up. It's probably, I'm pushing the wrong button. You say, well, of course, idiot. Right. And so I was kicking it out. My apologies. It's all on user error. All right. The tech guys can't fix stupid. Okay. Thank you very much. So here's the child Jesus. And look at the ways that he grows. Look at the development in his life. He's developing educationally. He is learning, and he's developing physically. We want to encourage our boys and girls to get strong. Physically, to get strong. We want them to develop a relationship with God that is personal, and we want them to develop socially as well. Now, as we think about this, we're going to represent Jesus when we go to school. And Ephesians chapter 4 is going to speak about that in verses 17 through 24. It says, so I tell you this, Ephesians chapter 4, if you would care to read along, and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality, indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your and to put on the new self, created to be like true righteousness and holiness. Now this is a document written to Gentiles who have lived for the devil and have lived for themselves all their lives, and now they've come to learn Jesus. You've got to learn a new way of life. This is not for kindergartners, but it is for college students. Because when you get to college, you, if you've never lived that way, are going to be hit with an ungodly, unprecedented sensual culture that is going to encourage you to experiment with all kinds of things that your mom and dad have never encouraged. And so, as Ed Harrell said a long time ago, you know what you're going to do? You know what your kids are going to do when they go to college? Exactly what they want to do. That's what they're going to do. They're going to make their own decisions. They're going to, based on their own character, choose how they're going to live. And we can live like the devil, or we can live for the Lord. We want to encourage you to live for the Lord. The dark world around children of light is very dark, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. As you hold out the word of life, you're going to have the opportunity, even at the Bible school, you're going to have the opportunity to point other people to Jesus. Do you realize that there are going to be kids at the Bible school who may not want to be there? Do you realize that at the Bible school or Florida College or anywhere else you send your kids, that there are kids who are sent there for reform school? Guess what? Some kids don't want to be reformed. But they can look at your character. They can look at your life in the public school setting. And they say, this kid's different. I see him praying before his meals. I see him being kind to other kids. I don't see him cutting in line. I see him being respectful to the teachers. There's something different about him. And you can befriend that kid who's been there for reform. Now, it's kind of risky, but you can do it. And learning Christ, describing His character. What did He learn? How did He behave? And so the Philippians theme really develops more and more in regard to conduct. The word here, Philippians 1, is the idea of politeuma, which means the characteristics of citizenship. The Philippians took great pride in the fact that they were Roman citizens. Hopefully you're going to, if I could use the word, take pride in the fact that you belong to Jesus. Number two, no cheating to get ahead. I wish I could tell you I never did, but I'd be lying. Sometimes we... In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 29, it says, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing, that's what cheating is, must steal no longer, but must work, doing something with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't cheat, guys. Girls, don't cheat. Don't take somebody else's answers. Be honest with your response. Moms and dads, don't put so much pressure on your kids to pass the test that you coerce them to be dishonest. Honesty's more important than an A in class. If I get an F in algebra because I didn't do the work, didn't know the work, let it be an F. But don't pressure your kids to the sense that they feel like they cheat. Please you with the grade. And so don't misrepresent the work of others. Man, it used to be a little harder to plagiarize. You had to read first and then hand type it. Now you just cut and paste. But if you're given a report, then you do your report. And if you cut and paste, make sure you give the proper accreditation to the person you cut and pasted. I'm thinking on college now. Oh, bullying. Don't be lured into the temptation to have fun with others. You know what we say is, oh, I was just kidding. I was just kidding. It still hurt. It still wasn't kind. It was still mean, even though you, quote, were just kidding. What I really appreciate about young men and young women is the way they will stand up for the kid who's being bullied. Now, there's the representative. Christ is the kind of person who says, you're not going to pick on my friend like this. So I encourage you to do that. There's bullying at school. What are you going to do about that? You may be the object of the bullying. You know how that feels. Do you have to be in line? Do you have to cut in line just because you want to be first? Do you threaten other people because you're bigger than they are? You know, Jesus said, and while being reviled, this is a description of Him, He did not revile in turn. Suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. For the ones who are being bullied. Be a friend to the friendless. I'm expecting you guys to do that. I know I get to see some of you guys in the hall. I'm expecting that you're going to be not the bully, but the one who protects others from the bully. What Jesus would do. This is what He did. Ephesians 4 says in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So our behavior be a source of grief to the Holy Spirit. When we treat people the way Jesus would never treat people, that grieves Him. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Do we respond their students and teachers? Do we treat other people the way we would want to be treated? Both teachers. We can bully people also with the Bible. We can personally disdain them because of what they have chosen to do. We read about that in Luke chapter 18 and verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank You that I'm not like other men, robbers, cheaters, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other man, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Kids, there's some of you who've been given very great blessings based upon your training in your family. But not all kids have that. Some kids don't know where they're supposed to be this weekend. They don't know with which parent they're supposed to be. They don't know which meal they're supposed to be. They don't know what school they're going to be going to. And they come to school disheveled and distraught and crying. Please be compassionate to that child. Please recognize not everybody has all the blessings you have. And be kind. And don't look down on them and say, well, I never did that. Maybe you didn't do that, but every one of us have failed before Jesus Christ. And maybe our problem is not that, but maybe our problem is arrogance and pride in trusting in ourselves that we're righteous. Rule number 4 is a little more challenging because it relates to dress for success. Dress to reflect Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Holy Spirit speaks through Peter to wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without the words of the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves, made themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands. Now, obviously, that's a husband-wife relationship discussion. But every function in life has dress that is appropriate. When we flew with Delta Airlines years and years ago as guests, we had to wear certain clothes. And we were not allowed to wear certain other clothes because that was not dress appropriate for Delta Airlines. Your future career is going to have dress considered to be appropriate. For some of you, it's protective clothing. For some of you, it's steel-toed shoes. For some of you, it's a synthetic suit that makes you really hot. Every occupation has some appropriate dress code. So does school. I don't know yet, I'm a newbie, but I'm thinking ABS may have a dress code. I'm thinking it might even have a dress code for teachers. And I'm thinking it might even tell me I have to wear a tie every day. I don't know. About to find out. I don't like to wear ties. And I'm thinking about the fact that I don't really like people telling me how to dress. I don't even like it when an old man from Birmingham, Alabama, up in Lafayette, Indiana, tells me I need to put a hat on when I'm out mowing the grass. But you know why he told me that? It's because he doesn't want my balding head to be cancer-ridden. I still didn't like it. I mean, you can't tell that, can you? None of us like to be told how to dress. But almost all of us need to at some point. And so kids, your mom and dad are going to say, nope, that won't float. Some of you, when you send your kids to camp, that's got to change. I don't know who likes that. But what God commends is people who are submissive and reflect the character of Christ. That's what God likes. That's what He approves of. And so, focusing on modesty, which is cosmios, well orderly, well arranged, and discreetly, which is the idea of shamefacedness. It's the idea of downcast eyes. It's the idea of bashfulness, especially towards the opposite sex. It's the opposite of being brazen. And dads, can I just appeal to you? You know what a woman's attire and a young woman's attire does to men. Because you're a man. You know it. Please don't put your little girl out there for eye candy for every vile person on the planet to view. Please don't do that. Don't treat your little girl that way. Fashion styles. You don't have to have the latest and greatest when it comes to clothing. There's pressure to wear whatever's cool. Can you imagine? In about 1970, bell bottoms were cool. Almost all the kids at school had bell bottoms. You know what my mom did? She bought me a pair of bell bottoms. They were pathetic. They looked awful. And I felt the pressure. I felt the scorn. I felt the ridicule of all the cool kids laughing at my silly bell bottoms. And my parents thought for some reason that we needed a pair of clodhoppers. That's what I called them. You know, knee-high shoes. Or not knee-high, because ankle-high shoes. But my parents thought, you're going to be ready for the snow. I look like a goofball. You think I didn't feel that? Try to help your kids to not just stick out, you know. But at the same time, don't feel like you have to go spend $1 million on your kid's wardrobe to keep up with Miss Fashion. Jesus is looking at your heart. And He knows that your kid sees your heart by how you treat them and how you send them to school. Beware and be on guard against every form of greed. And modesty, it applies to everybody. This is not just a women, this applies to every man. So when you go to school and when you go out, take a look in the mirror and then go through the mom test and then go through the dad test and then through the WWJD. What would Jesus do? And then one more test, the WWJDYTJ. That's what would Jesus do, and what would you do to Jesus? Would you flaunt that in front of Jesus? Would you wear that to tempt Him? Oh yeah, He was a man. Would you do that to Jesus? I don't think that's what we would do when we have that perspective. And so that's really important to think about. Finally, as we consider the need to prioritize involvement, Philippians 1 is going to encourage us to make excellent choices. Distinguish between the things that differ and make excellent choices. You're going to have lots of options for school, lots of functions, lots of activities. It still burns in my mind when some boys were playing baseball down in Hartsel and mom was giving them something to eat before the game that the whole family vowed in prayer. I can still see Sandra doing that with three very good athletes. They prayed first. That was public school. I think, Danny, you said that Hartsel had some pretty good ball teams at one point. Parents took time with their kids to pray before the game, before the performance, before the meal. Will you be praying before meals at school? Again, I don't know how things go, but will you, whether anybody else does, will you bow your head and give thanks to God for your meal at school? Jesus would. And is there going to be any time when they might hear you singing praise to God? Is there going to be a time when you can share what you're praying about with your friends? Are you going to sing together? Are you going to laugh together? Are you going to play together and enjoy those relationships? And college students, can I speak to you for a minute, please? Get involved with the other kids. College can be a great experience. You can get to know people in Christ and have such wonderful, good, wholesome time. Don't hide out in your room and don't stay up till 3 in the morning playing video games and then bomb out. I've seen that way too many times. Get connected with God's people. And there might even be a shepherd who's taking attendance. And so when you're down there, well, I think that's one of those A schools, go see your kids. And when you meet the shepherds, say, yeah, I don't think she's been here hardly at all, right, Renee? Whoa, wait a second. Shepherds need to know the flock. And when college students come, they need to connect with the shepherds and all the rest of the sheep. And we need to adopt college students into our families. They're not just adjuncts that show up for a few months. They need to be a part of the family. So choose to get involved. Get involved in Christ in honoring the opportunities He places before you. Learn to be a team member with a primary allegiance to Christ. You want to stimulate other people to love, to good works, and that happens in team environments. Your participation in sports, in clubs, in class offices is all well and good. It is. But we can get choked with worries and riches and pleasures. Some wise parents have said, kids, I know there's a lot of things you can do, but you have to choose one per semester. Please do not allow your work schedule, young people, to take precedence over your worship schedule. If you start that in high school, if you start saying, well, work comes first, then worship if I've got time, it'll most likely be a lifelong habit. And so moms and dads, we can help by saying, look, if you're going to take a job, that's fine, but you're not going to miss Bible study for that work activity. No one can do everything well. And when teams and clubs, bands and groups expect you to sacrifice your service to God in the assembly of His people, they're expecting too much. I remember the pressure from the coaches. I remember being told, look, you are the anchor of this team. Can't you just miss Wednesday night once in a while? You go down that step one time, you regret it. But over time, you don't even think about it anymore. So commitment to any team or performance group should not take precedence over the worship of Christ with His people. Little children understand the idea first, because you tell them, hey, mommy, I want to go out to play. You have to sit down and eat first. They understand what first means. And they understand what first means in your life, and they're watching you to see what first means in your life as to what it should mean in theirs. So parents, you believe, don't you? I'm sure you do, that the spiritual development of your children is the most important aspect of their growth. The growth physically, the growth in strength is so good. The growth educationally and socially is so good. But if they miss heaven, who cares if they were valedictorian? So what are you going to do with this school year to prove that Christ comes first? Are we going to help them make decisions based on God's priorities? Are we going to teach them first to be content and learn to sacrifice? Back to school. You ready? New year, new challenges. My prayer, and I trust is yours as well. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Well, I still feel like I'd like to go back to Revelation 4 and 5. If you think I've said things that were mean or wrong or just old man prejudiced, tell me. We can deal with that. But if what I is based in the principles and the priorities of Jesus Christ and the choices that He made while He was on earth, let's deal with it. And let's give our children to the King, because we are servants of the King. If you've not yet come to Him, we'd ask you to submit your whole life to Jesus and to choose to follow Him the rest of your days. If not yet, why not now as we stand and sing? Would you live for
have Him bear your burden, carry all your load. Let Him have His way with thee.
His heart and make Him what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. Was to have His way.